Mike, she's up again.
My coffee's in the office. I didn't have anyone.
I understand, you gotta have coffee, I understand that.
Yes.
I'm trying to get in.
Oh, my.
Give Joan a little. Give Joan a little.
Good morning, we'll call the Sussex County Council meeting of April 19, 2016 to order. First thing on will be approval of the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. A couple amendments today. Under the consent agenda, we can strike item number 2, wastewater agreement number 597-1. That still leaves two items on the consent agenda. And then on the third page, we can strike introduction of proposed zoning ordinances. We have none today.
Can I motion the council to approve the agenda as amended?
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Mr. Cole. Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
We have motion carried. We have the minutes of April 12th. Any corrections, concerns? Hearing none, they will stand approved. Read correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council?
None.
Public comments, Mr. Guy? Where's Mr. Guy? Oh, there he is. Thank you, sir. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. I tell you what, I've been complaining to you guys week after week about your minutes. You got two flaws in your last week's minutes. And you guys, I keep telling you, you can't read. Well, this time I'm going to tell you what the flaw is on one of them. The second one I'm not going to tell you. Last week, and by the way, you and you,
me?
Pay attention. You ain't got no more right to playing with your games when somebody's speaking than I do. First of all, it's like this. Last week you had a vote for Overbrook. And everybody in the paper said, oh, it was a 4-0 vote. No, it wasn't. Absolutely no such thing. Why not? Because Sam Wilson never voted at all. Pure and simple. You can listen to it till hell freezes over. And it'll never change. But yet your minutes say he voted no. No, he didn't. Because he made the statement. Right now I am in favor of denial. And the crowd that we had in here was a bunch of geezers that didn't have a brain to get anything out of them. Went nuts. And then instead of you asking him the question, how does he vote? You jumped the gun and started going in with your thing. And he never voted. That's not a vote. Thank you.
Gene Ward.
Good morning, Council.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Gene Ward, 340 Pond Road in Whining Creek Village, and I'm here today to voice my opposition to both the proposed Winding Creek Water District and the Herring Creek Sewer District. Last week, Mr. Arlette, in addressing the OTC rezoning request, spoke eloquently about who we are, a retirement destination, seniors holding up the weight of the state. Well, I'm here to tell you who we are in Winding Creek Village. If you've ever been there, we're not glitzy, we're not hoity-toity, we have no clubhouse, tennis court, or pool. We are modest homes with an abundance of pride of ownership. It's run by volunteers, cleanup crews, our beautification committee, the neighborhood watch, things like that. The demographics include single women, widows, widowers. I think out of the 235 homes or so, we have two households with kids, just two. Some working middle-agers are still there. Non-residents occasionally come down on weekends and summer months, but the greater majority are senior citizens, hoping that their money lasts as long as they do. They're holding up the weight of the state. It's not unusual to see a rescue squad come down our road. It's heartbreaking because we know each other and care about each other. A couple months ago, when I set out with others canvassing the neighborhood for affidavits against the water district, the first door I knocked on was the home of Joe. He's in his 80s. He's already lost his wife. And he's telling me that if the water and sewer goes through, he's going to have to sell his home. Joan, a widower up the street, will also sell because she can't afford it living on Social Security. And there are low-cost loans available. We know that. But it's a terrible thing to force 80-year-olds into taking out a loan just to poop and have a drink of water every day. They're holding up the weight of the state. Karen is in her 40s, and she's suddenly taking care of her 10-year-old nephew, whose mother recently died. Now, there's a financial burden she didn't see coming. I have a friend who doesn't go to the monthly ladies' luncheons because she would rather spend her $20 on going out to dinner with her husband. Two neighbors I know personally who've had a change of health event has left them in their homes now under home care, physical therapy. Their abilities now are limited, so their expenses will necessarily increase. Water and sewer doesn't have to be one of them. They're holding up the weight of the state. So in our community, mostly we have households of one and two people. And given the estimated figures for the cost of water and sewer, and using the 20-year period, because that's what DENREC told us our septic systems were going to last. They must be made in China these days. Anyway, that's $34,680, and that's without sewer rate increases and water rate increases. So I invite you to come out, see Whining Creek Village. Mr. Cole, come out and visit your constituents. Face to face, hear their stories, see our community, see how we care. This is who we are. We're the people affected by these proposals. We're the people upholding the weight of the county and the weight of the state. Thank you for listening. And Mr. Cole, if I can give you a contact card, I'd love for you to come out and meet with us.
Okay. You could do that.
Just in case.
I've been there many times. I have friends in there. I've been there many times.
Thank you very much.
Mary Ellen Vitserek.
Hello, I'm Mary Ellen Vitserek, and I also reside in Winding Creek Village. I was present at the public hearing that was held on February 13th, where we were told by County Executive Hans Medlars that Winding Creek Village was the only community being considered for the Water District. There was a question and answer period that followed. When asked if we could opt out, we were assured that if the majority of the 236 properties in Winding Creek were in opposition of the water, we could sign, we should and could sign a notarized affidavit stating that, and he would recommend to the council to drop it from the referendum. Well, we have submitted 194 affidavits, and we sincerely hope that Mr. Medlars will keep his word to us. One other thing I would like to mention, we recently were asked by our board to vote for or against speed bumps in our community, and the majority is going to rule. Now, speed bumps, that's one thing, but changing my lifestyle and asking me to pay for something I don't want for the rest of my life, to me, should ask for a vote, and we were not asked for a vote. Thank you.
Jeanette Cosgrove.
Good morning. I'm Jeanette Cosgrove, and I live in Winding Creek Village, and I'm going to address the Winding Creek Village Water District today. In 2014, Mr. Ashman reported to the council that many Winding Creek Village homes had wells testing high for nitrates and chloride, possibly from salt intrusion. Winding Creek Village actually has a water committee, and each year they test 20 to 30 homes, with results being reported at each annual meeting to the membership. Approximately 8 homes at the furthest east end of the community tested above the acceptable range for salt. So I'm here today to tell you that there is not a majority of homes with salt intrusion. Rather, our water is very good. We're sorry they have this problem with the water, but when you choose to live so close to the water, there are risks. So this is an individual responsibility and not the community's responsibility to pay for this. There are water treatment systems available to mediate their water problems. At the February 13th public hearing, many from Winding Creek Village expressed their opposition to the water district. Mr. Medlars heard us and suggested if a majority of notarized affidavits were collected, then he could make a recommendation to the council to cancel the water district referendum. 2 weeks ago at the council meeting, Mr. Ashman provided an updated report and the number of affidavits collected. He made a statement that there is not a statute that explains how to cancel a referendum. Then we ask, why in the world would Mr. Medlars have made the suggestion of collecting affidavits? He told us he had a lot of experience, that he has conducted many public hearings, and we believed him. We would not have collected the affidavits if he had not given us that option. The Winding Creek Village community could ask, is there a written process or policy that states that a county department can accept a letter from an HOA or POA board and begin the petition process without polling the community? Because that's exactly what happened. If we were polled in 2012, we would not be talking about this today. So in good faith, we've collected 194 affidavits, a majority from our neighbors who want to keep their well water. Now it is Mr. Medlars and Mr. Ashman who should keep their word, honor the voice of the majority, and make their recommendations to cancel the referendum on water. We ask the council members to please vote and cancel the water referendum. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Paul Rieger.
Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. It seems like every meeting recently, back to the same discussion, there always seems to be something going on with planning and zoning. Last week, when you said brought up or the meeting before, the appointment for Councilman Cole's district, to have him come on board. Now, the planning board, with Mr. Smith resigning, left open the vice chairman on that board. Going forward, at the last meeting, I couldn't understand how they could vote so in a hurry to have a vice chairman on that board with the four members, why they just couldn't wait till the next member came in from Council District 4. Is what it works out now is, like I've been stressing, which I definitely 100% don't agree with, to having two planning board members in District 5 out in Del Mar. Now you have the chairman in District 5 out in that Del Mar area. You have the vice chairman out in District 5 out in Del Mar area. Like I said, if I lived in District 3, 2, even 4 in that, or District 1, I'd totally be upset because I don't have no representation. But I would be upset with not having more of that power who controls the meetings on that side of the county. Thank you.
Todd, next.
Thank you, Mr. President. The next item of business is a presentation by Ms. Melissa Martin, who is Assistant Director of Autism Delaware, who is going to make a presentation to the council regarding Autism Awareness Month. Ms. Martin, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you, council members and County Administrator Lawson, for the opportunity to speak with you today. April is Autism Awareness Month, so I'm here today also with my counterpart from Autism Delaware, Frank Shade, whom I think many of you may know. Frank is our Southern Delaware Development Coordinator, and we're kind of out around the county this month telling folks about our services and the programs that enrich the lives of Delawareans here in Sussex County. Autism Delaware is, let me get my presentation up here for you. We are the representation of a merger between two agencies, previously the Lower Delaware Autism Foundation, where I was the executive director, and the Autism Society of Delaware out of Newark. We've worked very aggressively to bring one voice across the state, but I'm here today to tell you that we're doing some very specialized services and initiatives right here in Sussex County for Sussex Countyans in each and every one of your districts. And I want to tell you a little bit about them today so that you understand that autism is impacting a rising number of folks here in Sussex County, and that we need a wide variety of supports to help meet the needs of those families in their unique situations. Today, the CDC says that autism occurs in one in every 68 children, and that statistics holds true here in Sussex County. We are not immune. This past year, in 2015, the Department of Education told us that we have 1,660 students across the state. That is a 754% increase over the last 22 years here in Delaware. Many of you are familiar with the local arm of the Delaware Autism Program here in Sussex County and Lewis, called the Sussex Consortium, which pulls students from all of your districts into a center-based program within the Cape Henlopen School District and provides them the types of speech-language, occupational therapy, psychological, and special education supports that they may need. This year, more children will be diagnosed with autism than pediatric AIDS, juvenile diabetes, and cancer combined. It is the fastest national growing developmental disability. So autism is a disorder that impacts social interaction, communication, and typical development for a child. And as you can imagine, if you have those two things and you sort of make a math equation out of it, this can equal some atypical behaviors and some problems for children as they interact with others in their community and as they learn and grow. And that can be a great stressor on their families, both emotionally and financially. I'm going to skip a couple of these slides here and get to some of the basic services that we provide. We are a vendor of the state for adult services. That's the program that I represent called POWER, Productive Opportunities for Work and Recreation, which helps place young adults as they're transitioning out of high school into employment in the community, in your communities here. We're working locally with business owners like Grotto's Pizza, local law offices here in Georgetown, including a Gill's Law Office. We work with the Dell Tech groups in maintenance in their facilities, and we're also working in many Bethany-based restaurants and businesses, including Northeast Seafood Kitchen and the Matt Haley Companies. Those services, we are reimbursed from the state for at the rate of $11.20. It costs us about $15 an hour to be able to deliver those services, so we're always working under a deficit. And we have additional supports that are very important to our families. We have parent mentoring and coffee hours. So when you receive your diagnosis of autism for your child, your son or your daughter, and you need a resource in the community, you can pick up the phone and you can call and speak to someone in our offices that will help you understand where the local resources are. We also do a lot of advocacy, as we are here today, educating the community about our resources, and we provide safe social and recreational opportunities where families are welcomed and supported. And we also have some pilot projects going. One of them that we have going right here in Sussex County today is an outreach program to help reach the Hispanic population, who are largely disenfranchised in the schools and not getting the supports that they need. So we're helping to kind of bring them to the resources that they need and having some specialized contacts in the community who can understand their unique culture and support needs. Autism lasts a lifetime. It is a pervasive developmental disorder, and it impacts a person across their age. and families struggle asking themselves questions like, will my adult child be able to handle independence? How long will I have to care for my adult child? Where will they live? What type of job will help bring them meaningful and productive engagement in the community? What will happen to my child when they are gone? When my child is an adult, will they be in a safe and supported home environment? And how can I assure that they will lead a full life? So I'm here today to tell you that in addition to these types of supports and the rising demand, that as you can see here in Southern Delaware alone, again, our support needs are growing. We started in 2011 after our merger, pulling together our parent mentoring contacts. We had 163. In 2014, we don't have our 2015 numbers yet, we were up to 1,685 parent calls here in Sussex County alone. 723 of them were in southern Delaware, so below Georgetown. So we're finding that families in Seaford and Bethany especially are needing more and more supports in that community. And our programs are important. Not only are they important touch points for accessing services, they're fun, they offer a break for families, but they're expensive. And we're here today to tell you that we need your help. We're asking that the Sussex County Council consider our rising costs and the support needs of our families. We know that you have some councilmanic funds, and since we are serving statewide, we'd like to ask you if you would be willing to look at any funds that you may have. $1,000 from each county or from each district would allow us to have $5,000 to put towards our Hispanic outreach program, day camp programs that we do in conjunction with the Children's Beach House, golfing and sports programs, swimming programs, and our community and family outreach programs that help families access advocacy supports in our schools and help them to find physicians and resources that they may need to make their lives whole. So I invite you not only to support Autism Awareness this month by wearing the pins and the ribbons on your desk, but to also consider supporting us with some funding that would help to enrich not only our programming but the lives of our families.
Quick question. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Before we get to that, if you will contact Mrs. Jennings,
yes.
She can show you the proper forms to fill out to request councilmatic grants.
That sounds great. We would appreciate that information.
And if a grant was given,
mm-hmm.
We like to make sure that when we grant from Sussex County, it stays in Sussex County. Is there a way to make sure that that grant is earmarked for Sussex County programs?
There absolutely is. I'd be happy to work with Ms. Jennings to help her understand which programs are taking place in Sussex County so that the monies here would be directed specifically for Sussex Countyans and their families.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes,
we have one of our little guys in the family has autism and in Maryland. And I've met the folks that are sent out to stay with him and monitor him. They're highly qualified.
Yes.
And there's never been any question, to my knowledge, that there was any coverage. I mean, it's been there. It's no question. I mean, this sounds kind of putting together a whole lot of things to make it work.
We are. The services in Delaware are very different than the services in Maryland. Many services in Maryland operate under a Medicaid waiver, and services in Delaware do not. Delaware has historically underutilized the Medicaid waiver system, which requires a state funding match, and instead has relied more on nonprofits like Autism Delaware to fill the gaps that are needed for families. So that's where we come in with these types of programs. So schools can fill some pieces, but then outside of school, weekends, evenings, before and after school care for working families are needed services that Autism Delaware is working very hard to fill the gaps. In Delaware, we also have an adult system that is based on a crisis situation. So you have to be at risk of homelessness or homeless before you can be placed in a residential program in the state of Delaware, which leaves families of folks with autism with a big challenge because the nature of autism makes transition and change very difficult. So our families are seeking a system that is more of a lifelong continuum of support that would start that type of programming in a more gradual, assisted way rather than at the last minute when the bottom falls out.
Well, if it were my son, I would rather live in Maryland.
Well, we love Sussex County. We are Sussex Countyans, and we are looking for similar parity. We would like to have the variety of services offered by states like Maryland, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey, who have very comprehensive systems supporting individuals with autism.
I'm not criticizing you, but you have a big job on your hands.
We do.
And I admire you for it, and I thank you very much. And I do realize that what can be done, unfortunately, is not done here. But maybe we can help, so I hope we can.
Thank you. We are looking for that support so that individuals with autism can be successful and their families can be supported with the support of a community behind them. So we appreciate your time.
Well, comments and counsel, Mr. Arlett.
Mr. President, if I may, Mrs. Martin, thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you.
I know we've been learning more and more about your organization really through Mr. Moore's law firm. There's an attorney who is a parent slash a child, has a child.
Yes, I'm familiar with them.
And I won't mention the name because it's not fair to her. If she wouldn't want that, so we won't. But she lives in the district. And I did have the opportunity to be a part of your fundraising event this last year.
Wonderful.
I think it was there in Rehoboth.
Yes, I believe the Blue Jean Ball.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate you for being here and sharing to the community. But I have a quick question.
Sure.
And the increase is pretty dramatic.
It is.
Very, very dramatic. And I don't know if it's because we've had more population moving into the area or if it is attributed to something else. Could you share and elaborate to that?
I'd be happy to, yes. It's a little bit of both. Like many things are, there's no black and white answer. But the reality is that we are seeing a higher prevalence of autism. So it means it's happening more frequently. There have been a lot of questions over the years, probably the last 10 or 15 years, about whether that prevalence rate is accurate or are we just over-diagnosing. And many studies have shown that we really are experiencing a significant spike increase in the prevalence of autism spectrum disorders. So there's more of it happening. We in Sussex County have kind of a unique situation. Ms. Deaver commented on the idea that we are lacking in some very basic service needs. Yet Delaware is unique in the nation in that we have something called the Delaware Autism Program, which is a program of our public school districts. And it is a cooperative, if you will, in which specialized teachers and specialized professionals come together to support youth with autism. So we have a center-based program in each of the counties. Here, ours is the Sussex Consortium, where the family that Mr. Moore is familiar with. He was educated there before he transitioned into our services for employment. And that young man received specialized speech-language therapy, occupational therapy, psychological resources, and special education resources that are tailored to the unique needs of autism. Because autism represents a deficit of communication and socialization, the behaviors that can come out of that can be very intense and very severe. Many, many of our families find themselves homebound because going out in the community with their young adult is not always practical. Mm-hmm. So we have to have very intense wraparound support services that are different from other developmental disabilities. And Delaware has really taken a lead. 25 years ago, they established this consortium program, grew it across the state, and it is one of the only in the nation that provides that type of services. So while we have a big disparity in our kind of continuum of lifelong services, here we have a unique relationship with our families and the special education system. And in fact, it does draw folks from the surrounding states who are seeking that type of resource. The consortium last year represented not only Delaware families, but families from 25 other states who moved here to seek that specialized resource.
Mm-hmm. For that part of it.
It is part of it. Mm-hmm.
For that part.
Mm-hmm. And I don't get the opportunity to share with somebody directly from the organization directly. So could you just in a very short, because we've got the agenda and out of respect for the president, one of my neighbors, direct neighbors in my own community, actually also has an autistic child. And I know that they, at one point in time, attended a school in our county here.
Okay.
And I don't know the details. And they ended up shifting this child to a Maryland school for some reason. Could you elaborate? In a short version, what could we do better?
Yes, I can do a short version, actually, and I can tell you we're on the path to doing better, in fact, just this last week. The reason that often happens speaks to the behavioral component. Our schools are schools that are not a part of the Delaware Autism Program, which is a specialized resource, are largely under-equipped. We have special education teachers, but they don't have that next level of specialized professional knowledge to be able to manage the challenging behaviors that emerge when a child has a lack of ability to communicate and relate to others. So just recently, we introduced some legislation, Senate Bill 92 and 93, is that right, Frank? To the legislature, which passed last Wednesday, and this in the Senate, passed the Senate. And in this initiative, we are establishing a statewide education resource called the Center for Excellence in Autism, which will house a statewide director for the program and several trainers that will be able to go out to the schools to enhance their capacity to be able to serve students in their home district, which is really important to many of your constituents, particularly those that live farther away from Lewis, who are putting little tiny children with intense developmental disabilities on school buses for upwards of 2 hours to get to that specialized resource. I think everyone would agree. We'd like to see the capacity of schools like Seaford, Laurel, Delmar area schools to increase their capacity, and Georgetown as well, to be able to serve those with a higher intense need for behavioral supports. What happens often is when the school system isn't able to deal with that, the state then funds a tuition to send them outside of the state of Delaware at a very, very high cost. So enriching our resources only keeps our funds here and enhances the capacity of our schools to be able to serve their population.
I have one more question.
Mm-hmm. Mrs.
Deaver. We're a small state. Maryland's not all that big. I'm just hoping that the little guys that have all these problems, that have autism, I hope they're being well served. I'm wondering if maybe there should be cooperation or working together between the two kind of small states, really.
Yes.
And just seems like without that, there may be, I just think about the children.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure they're well served if we try to do all on our own, just, you know, just us. And I hope that there's coordination and cooperation.
There is absolutely cross-collaboration. So some of those resources that we're talking about bringing into the Center of Excellence for Education and Autism will be pulled from outside states with cross-collaboration so that they can provide consultation and training to not only increase the capacity of the schools, but also to help families become better educated. And that's where some of the advocacy that Autism Delaware comes in, where we're saying, you know, we can't keep doing the same thing and expecting a better result.
Right.
We need to seek outside resources and greater professional capacity to meet the growing need.
Thank you. I'm glad you're there.
Thank you.
Anything else from council? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you're doing.
I appreciate your
thank
time
you. Appreciate
today.
That.
Thank you. I'm not sure I know how to end the presentation.
We have someone that knows.
The technical,
we have technical people. I'm
this young
you.
Lady is fantastic.
She is, yes,
way.
She is.
I'm sure you all know that, but
we
she,
say
she
that
is
every
very
Tuesday.
Helpful. Thank you. She has a wonderful smile that makes it even better. Thank you all for your support.
Thank you very much. Next is the consent agenda. We have two items, wastewater agreement number 638-9, Sussex County project number -8104, the estuary, Camp Barnes Road, off-site sewer construction record, Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District, and wastewater agreement number 1043, Sussex County project number -8104, Route 24 Elementary School, Love Creek, Gosley Creek Planning Area. Any questions on those two items? Hearing none, we'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make that
motion. Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second Mr. Arlette, to approve the consent agenda as read. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. First item of business is a proclamation for Fair Housing Month. I have a proclamation here, and I believe we have representatives in the audience today that would like to have a picture taken with council regarding the proclamation. I'll read the proclamation. Proclaiming the month of April as Fair Housing Month in Sussex County, whereas April 2016 marks the 48th anniversary of the passage of the U.S. Fair Housing Law, Title 8 of the Civil Rights Act of 1968 as amended, which enunciates a national policy of fair housing without regard to race, color, religion, national origin, sex, familial status, or handicap, and encourages fair housing opportunities for all citizens. The Sussex County Council and the Sussex County Association of Realtors are committed to highlight the fair housing law by continuing to address discrimination in our community, to support programs that will educate the public about the right to equal housing opportunities, and to plan partnership efforts with our organizations to help assure every American of their right to fair housing. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council proclaims April 2016 as Fair Housing Month, beginning a year-long commemoration of the U.S. Fair Housing Law in Sussex County, and urges all citizens to wholeheartedly recognize this celebration throughout the year. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President. Thank you, sir.
We should get the word realtor. George, we're realtors, yeah?
Oh, realtors.
Come on.
Oh.
Should we not? I think we should.
I don't know if I want to get down there with that.
Hey, Amy, want to come down? Come on down.
I'm pretty good.
We should be a part of it. Frank, can I get some continuing ed for this?
No.
Are you going down?
For $35.
As a realtor?
Yeah, I'm
No, you're not.
I'm just going to thank you.
Why don't
fair housing year round?
Why
don't you and Rob get in here?
We're right here. We're good.
No, get in here. Get in here. You're the realtors. Get here. Take hold of that thing.
No.
Get Rob in there next to him.
All right. I'm good.
No, get in there. Steve, get up here.
How come all these realtors are so short?
Is it a stressful
business? It must be a stressful business.
I know.
I'm glad Wolfgang get my picture.
Yeah.
Put in his scrapbook.
Wolf is back.
To put a diplomat.
Right here. Look down for that guy.
Our people are not in the picture.
Snap. He didn't want to stand up either. He was short.
Everybody's good? Okay.
All right. Who do we give this to?
Don't give Louis a break.
Congratulations, sir.
Take care of everything.
Don't lose it. If you care to say anything to the microphone, you were.
Make sure you give it to a young man.
As president of the Sussex County Association of Realtors, we'd like to thank the council for their proclamation that we've just received, and for supporting fair housing for all Sussex County citizens year-round, and not just the month of April. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you all for all you do. Thank you very much. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. Next item of business is the administrator's report for April 19, 2016. Item number one, per the attached Delaware State Police activity report for December, there were 410 violent crimes arrests with 338 clearances and 3,238 property crimes with 1,278 clearances and 45,705 total traffic charges with 32,005 corresponding arrests. Of those traffic arrests, 988 were for DUI. Finally, there were 5,254 total vehicle crashes and investigations in December. In total, there were 191 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of December. Item number two, the Delaware Department of Safety and Homeland Security recently reported that Sussex County's telephone number match rate has reached the 96% accuracy threshold. This is a significant milestone for the county and the highest percentage of telephone number to address matches ever experienced by the county since Sussex implemented its new addressing protocol. As a result, residents of the county have a greater assurance that their address and telephone number information is accurate and up to date should the need arise, including during an emergency, to identify and locate a specific address. Our congratulations and appreciation go to the staff of the county's mapping and addressing office for accomplishing this tremendous feat. And if I may, Mr. President, I believe the entire department is here today, and I would ask them to stand up and be recognized in front of council for your wonderful accomplishment and hard work. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very, very much. I know Megan and your staff have been a long time getting here. And great job, everybody. Thank you all very, very much for all you do. And the residents appreciate it.
Thank you all. Congratulations. Thanks for being here. Okay, closing out item number 3, a reminder that council will not meet on Tuesday, April 26th. The next regularly scheduled council meeting will be held on May 3rd at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. The first item was the Clean Water and Flood Abatement Task Force update. I was hoping to have an update for you. The task force met last week, and we meet again tomorrow. The task force was supposed to finish this month, so I expected to have something for you to review. However, the task force is still reviewing billing options for the clean water fee. So we're most likely going to extend the task force into May, so then I will come back with more of an update for something for you to consider.
I have a question.
Deaver.
Is source water protection involved, or is that a strictly...
That's separate.
A separate yes. issue, so they're not addressing our ordinance, which I would like to see meet the state standards. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. President, may I? Just,
Mr. Arnett.
I heard you say just now that they are looking at a method to determine how to bill.
Correct. So the first bill I brought to you was putting on the property tax bill, which then I'm on the committee, voiced everybody's concerns, my concerns. So then there's a new draft bill to then put it on the sewer bill. Well, again, there's more concerns, voiced my concerns. So now that's gone. And now we are looking at DENREC doing a type of billing. Now DENREC has an issue with doing the billing. So the biggest issue is, of course, nobody wants to bill the fee that is going to come out of this legislation.
So the other part to that equation is this method of billing a part of I mean, this has not passed. Correct?
This is draft legislation. Right. So the committee is put together to come up with a recommendation for the legislature on how to clean our water. And of course, there is $50 million, what DENREC has come up with, demand. So there needs to be some type of revenue source to meet that demand.
And what's your inkling on it, on this passing or not passing, from your viewpoint?
I do not know. Coming out of the committee, I expect there be draft legislation. I think there's probably more support on the task force to make that recommendation, to take that to legislation. But when it gets to legislation, I do not know.
Okay. Thank comments, you. Questions? And next, you have a property update.
So as you're aware, Sussex County purchased a property on 22512 Springfield Lane to establish a clear zone on the approach to runway 422 at Delaware Coastal Airport. The larger clear zone is required by the FAA and should the runway 422 be extended 6,000 feet. The parcel land purchased included approximately 9.82 acres with a 3,900 square foot house. The entire property was not required for the clear zone, so we had subdivided the section not needed for the runway extension project. The new parcel had consisted of 2.229 acres and a house. On May 29, 2015, we had an appraisal done, and then in October, County Council approved the disposition of the 22512 Springfield Lane property by advertising the property and accepting sealed bids. The property was placed for sale in October, and after advertising multiple times and extending the deadline to accept bids 3 times from October to March, we received no bids by the last deadline. Administration is recommending that we hire a realtor and place the property on the market as a regular sale. And I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council authorize administration to contact Sussex County Association of Realtors to list 22512 Springfield Lane on the real estate market.
Make that motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second.
Second.
Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mr. Medlars. Pump station.